Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth, according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth. Everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Today's second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord. Peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson from Matthew. Through the course of the last several weeks, we've been looking at various gospel passages from the book of Matthew. And Matthew makes a very strong point that Jesus is the Messiah. But he also makes a point that Jesus is more than just the Messiah, that he's also the Son of God. As a side note, I learned from one of the pastors down at St. Peter's in Seymour. I guess that's where St. Peter's is. He was a former rabbi who is now a Lutheran Missouri Synod pastor. And he was saying that Orthodox rabbis study the book of Matthew because Matthew was originally written in Hebrew. So the Orthodox rabbis will study it, and because of his study of Matthew, that's how he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And there have been other rabbis over the years that have become Christian as a result of studying Matthew. So I'd say Matthew's a pretty effective book for evangelism. But now we're here at the end of the book, where Jesus gives his final commands. Jesus tells his followers what to do after he leaves. It's what we call the Great Commission, and many of you know what that means. Jesus had told his disciples to meet him first in Jerusalem. Let's look at the passage and go from there. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew points out again and again that Jesus is not merely a man, that he's not merely just the Messiah, but he's that he is the Son of God himself. And he's sent from God the Father in heaven with a mission. He has full authority to give that mission to his followers because he comes with the full authority of the Father. We should have a fire lit underneath us to do whatever he tells us to do, whenever he tells us to do, because he has the authority to command us. And it says in verse 17, they worshiped him. Well, they should. He had divine authority. And that Jesus is worthy of our worship and obedience. Now, the gospel lesson says, some doubted. Now, whether it was one of the 11 disciples, one or more of the 11 disciples gathered there, or it was some of the other followers of Jesus, we don't really know. But some things needed to be cleared up, perhaps, for those who doubted. In verse 18, it's as if Jesus is trying to clear up things. He says, in essence, I am Jesus, I have all authority, and I have a mission for you. We need to trust Jesus and be moved by his authority and unleashed for the mission that he has given us. And Jesus' mission begins with a command word, go. It's not a suggestion, it's not an idea, it's not a challenge, it's not an option. Go and make disciples of all nations. Where are we to go? All nations. Not just those in Johnson County, but everywhere. Jesus said all nations, which means all the people of the world, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, we are to go. The mission field is ripe in the world, and it's everywhere. Now, was the command to go and make disciples only given to the 11 disciples gathered on the mountain that day? No. It was delivered to the disciples. And are we not also disciples of Jesus? For all are followers of Jesus. We are to make disciples, therefore, of all nations because we are one of his disciples. He doesn't want just converts, not just people to fill the pews, but he wants disciples. He wants disciples who are willing to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those who will identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection through the waters of baptism. And those who will identify with and unite with a local church filled with other disciples of Jesus. He wants us to make disciples by teaching them the commands of Jesus and teaching them to observe those commands. Jesus wants those who want to become more like him, to mirror his words and actions. He doesn't want us just to know his ways. He wants us to observe his ways. He wants us to become gospel lights or lights for the gospel. A Dr. Tony Evans, an author, wrote, "The effectiveness of a church is therefore evaluated, not in the number of its members, but in its disciple-making. It's the absence of discipleship that keeps the church impotent and ineffective, because by not taking up Christ's mission of discipleship, its people cannot draw on Christ's authority." Keep in mind, Jesus ends this section of scriptures with the words, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." When we go into the mission field, we go with the authority of Jesus, and he goes with us. The purpose of the book of Matthew was to show that Jesus is the Son of God and that we might know and experience his promises. Matthew begins and ends with the same thought. In Matthew 1, it says, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." The last words of Matthew echo the same theme. "I am with you always to the end of the age." God is with us. Jesus is with us. The bottom line is the authority of Jesus fuels the mission in us. We can't do the mission alone. We need it to be fueled by Jesus. Some of you have never lived on a mission for God. You've been missing out, therefore, on what God created us to do for a very long time. Going into the mission field is like a horse that was just born, that struggles to walk, has to practice walking. Well, practice the mission this week. There's your challenge. Serve someone else and tell them that you're doing it because of what Jesus has done for you. And then share how Jesus has changed you with a friend or neighbor. Practice the mission. Remember, as you do so, Jesus is with you to the very end. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.